In Ta-Nehisi Coates's The Water Dancer, the main character, Hiram Walker, was born into slavery in a Virginia tobacco plantation. He is the bastard son of the master, but he soon realizes that he will never be considered as anything other than property by the slave owners, and he becomes intent on escape. I'm joined in studio by Peter Murphy, who has read The Water Dancer. Peter, can we start with Ta-Nehisi Coates? This is his first novel, but he's well known in intellectual and journalistic circles, isn't he?
He's kind of a journalistic superstar. 2 National Book Awards, recipient of the MacArthur Genius Grant National Magazine Awards. A couple of his essays would be regarded as seminal nonfiction works, particularly to do with contemporary black culture over the last 10 years.
And his father was very much an activist.
His father was a Black Panther and also founded Classic Black Press, which was served the purpose of relaunching or rehabilitating the reputations of a lot of cult 1960s black writers. Interesting, Toni Morrison described him as an inheritor to James Baldwin's crown some years ago in terms of a black intellectual. I'd say what she was referring to was a certain, not an anger, but a certain sort of uncompromising attitude towards America facing up to the reality of its history. The Case for Reparations is probably his best known essay. If you can find it online, either read it on The Atlantic, or there's a very beautifully read podcast version of it. It's a whopper of a piece, but it's...
Is that reparation for slavery?
Reparation for slavery, almost something similar to the Truth and Reconciliation movement that happened in South Africa. But it's an interesting take, and it very much informs the novel. I know we're going on about it a lot, but it forms the background to the novel in terms of his point is America will never really grow up until it loses the myth of its innocence and confronts the actual horror of its origins.
So a bit like Colson Whitehead in The Underground Railway or the film director Steve McQueen in 12 Years a Slave, this is a story about slavery. And the story begins with a traumatic event in Hiram Walker, this young slave boy's life. Tell us a little bit about Hiram.
Well, Hiram he's a young black slave on a declining Virginian tobacco plantation named Lockless. And there's a really pungent evocation of a plantation as it begins to decline. And it's very interesting. It's almost classic. What happens to old money? You know, old money marries into itself because nobody wants to work, so they preserve the riches at all costs. But this is a real snapshot of, as those plantations began to decline, instead of working the land, and the land wouldn't yield anymore because it was overworked, they end up having to sell off stuff. So entire families are being rent asunder, and wives, daughters, you know, anybody who was a part of a labour force ended up getting sold off and transported. So you get this epic sense of entire communities being ripped apart. Hiram comes from a sort of hierarchy in which the local community is the tasked, and those are the people who have to work. Those are the black slaves, the landowners who are referred to as the quality, and then the low whites who are pretty much bounty hunters and, you know, abductors.
Jailers,
jailers. They're, you know, sort of Black and Tan's version of the military.
And there are some, which shows the essayist in him in some ways, there are some wonderful descriptions of that tension between the slave owner and the slave, or the tasker and the quality. And you have a passage there you're going to read. It's really explaining why the quality or the slave owner must keep apart from the slave.
It's about the dynamics. It's about the structures of power. And this will give you some sense of the kind of writer he is. They knew our names and they knew our parents, but they did not know us, because not knowing was essential to their power. To sell a child right from under his mother, you must know that mother only in the thinnest way possible. To strip a man down, condemn him to be beaten, flayed alive, then anointed with salt water, you cannot feel him the way you feel your own. You cannot see yourself in him, lest your hand be stayed, and your hand must never be stayed, because the moment it is, the tasked will see that you see them, and thus see yourself. In that moment of profound understanding, you are all done, because you cannot rule as is needed.
Yes, and Hiram is at the beginning quite almost like Pip in Great Expectations. His idea is above his station because he's the bastard son. And in some ways, he thinks that things might be all right. He doesn't quite think he'll become the heir, but he feels he will be a real son, whereas in fact, his only purpose is to be the minder of the heir, who is Maynard.
Yes, and it's so complex because he's full of conflict as to there's a natural, I wouldn't call it love for his father, but there's, you know, there's a cleaving to a certain sense of family, as corrupted and perverse though it may be. And it isn't, you mentioned Great Expectations. This is in many ways a classic sort of 19th century novel. Reminded me of Dickens in part. Sometimes it reminded me of your classic sort of Robert Louis Stevenson kind of kidnapped epic adventure tale. But with the darkest possible background, but his, you know, the age of innocence, if you could ever call it innocence, is not long in being ripped asunder. And
and there are many images in it. I mean, the very title of the book, The Water Dancer, is an image that comes into the book quite a lot. Can you explain what a water dancer is and the kind of ephemeral role that kind of image plays in the book?
Well, one of the essential attributes of Hiram is that he cannot remember his mother. All memories of his mother have been suppressed. She's either been killed or taken away, but he cannot remember her at all. But he does remember an image of his aunt, and he's told that his mother, as well as his aunt, were brilliant water dancers. A water dancer was a woman who could balance a jug of water on top of her head and do the most complex acrobatic dance without spilling a drop of water. And it goes back to, you know, West African culture. But it plays into the central mechanism of the novel. It should be mentioned that there is an aspect of this book that is kind of magic realist, is to do with African mythology. It's quite mystical. And there is a slightly supernatural element to it. Hiram has the power of what is called conduction, which comes upon him in moments of great crisis or moments of vivid recollection of his childhood, and it becomes apparent why he's suppressing so much memory of his mother. It's part of his motherlode of power. And it's an element of that is quite common, actually, amongst modern-day African-American writers, is that many of them grew up on Dungeons and Dragons and Stephen King and Tolkien. You know, Marlon James, the Afro-Caribbean writer, is quite similarly. And I think a lot of it is just in terms of mythological rhyming with the culture that they come from. The African culture is so rich in trickster myth and everything else, but that is central to his memory system and also his, if you like, his superpower.
Yes, because when the action happens, when he decides to escape, that is done in a way, would you call it magic realism or would you talk about it fantasy, the way you're describing it there, in terms of how they create that notion of the Underground Railway, for example?
It's folkloric more than anything else, I would say, but it's an image that has been used before. It's appeared in Colson Whitehead's novel, but it goes back to the Book of Exodus. It's a biblical idea, and what's beautiful about Coates' language is it has mythological richness, but it also has all that biblical.
And now to the verdict. Would you recommend it, Peter?
The only criticism I'd have of this is that maybe the plotting or the story gets a little discursive or a little baggy towards the end. It's a pretty minor issue. He is a virtuoso writer, and his language and his character and his ideas are magnificent. It was written over 10 years. It's the work of a serious writer.
My thanks to Peter Murphy. The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates is published by Penguin Books.